The creek flows through a valley in eastern Iowa, past quiet pastures and banks blooming with goldenrod and Queen Anne's lace. It's one of more than 100 streams and tributaries that flow into the Mississippi here, through countryside that, for the most part, still looks like a Grant Wood painting. John Bennett is the chairman of biology at nearby Clark College, a small private school in Dubuque. 2 years ago, as a summer project with one of his students, he began testing bacteria in these waters.
I couldn't believe it. I thought something has gone wrong with this experiment. It can't be resistant to everything we have.
Bennett and his student found bacteria resistant to the antibiotic tetracycline in every stream they tested. Some bacteria also were resistant to as many as 5 other antibiotics.
But we're finding bacteria that are resistant to not only the tetracycline, but penicillin, ampicillin, chloramphenicol, erythromycin, cefoxitin, key classes of antibiotics that are used for a broad range of treatment types. And we're finding some bacteria that are resistant to every antibiotic that we've tested.
People don't drink this water, so it's unlikely the antibiotic-resistant bacteria in these streams will make people sick directly. But Bennett says if a person wading in this stream accidentally swallowed just a drop, it could cause problems later.
The bacteria at first might not make you sick. When you get treated with an antibiotic, now you've got troubles, because you're going to have a bacteria in your system that will not respond. Not only that, these bacteria, they contain the genes, the genetic information necessary for resistance, and they can transfer these to other species of bacteria. So now it's real possible that you have a species of bacteria inside your body that's transferring genes to other bacteria.
Imagine these genes spreading like dandelion seeds. The genes can pass from one bacteria to another in streams. From there, they can move into fish, birds, and other animals. One study found resistant bacteria in wild Canadian geese. Scientists are just beginning to track the spread of the genes. Ron Ash of Washburn University in Topeka, Kansas, tested 16 major rivers across the eastern three quarters of the United States. He found antibiotic-resistant bacteria in all of them. Rivers tested included the Mississippi, the Ohio, and the Hudson. Ash began his study in 1997. He says it was the first wide-scale look at the problem.
People have been aware that there might be antibiotic-resistant bacteria out there, but no one really knew the extent of the damage, if you wanted to call it that. But our work clearly shows that it might be necessary to take some precautions in the future and to really acquire much more data on this.
There are several possible sources for the antibiotic-resistant bacteria in rivers. Some strains of bacteria have naturally occurring resistance to antibiotics. Other resistant bacteria come from sewage treatment plants. Humans who carry resistant bacteria in their body can excrete them into waste. A third source is livestock operations. Joseph Baumgartner is a researcher with the Federal Environmental Protection Agency in North Carolina. That state has a large number of factory-style hog operations. He says livestock operations often use low levels of antibiotics as a growth promotant. It's a process that fosters the growth of bacteria resistant to the specific drugs that are used.
They're administered in subtherapeutic dosages. Otherwise, in dosages too low to effectively kill off all the enteric bacteria in the gut of the animal. So the survivors are probably the more resistant bacteria.
These resistant bacteria pass into manure, which is spread on farm fields and washed into streams and rivers. They also concentrate in manure storage basins. When the basins rupture or flood, they can empty huge doses of bacteria into rivers. That happened across North Carolina in 1999 during Hurricane Floyd. Asked how far or how fast the resistant bacteria are spreading, Baumgartner says no one knows.
This is one of the things we're attempting to start defining now with the studies that are already ongoing. There's just too many unknowns right now to reach any conclusions. The things that we do know are that, number one, resistant bacteria are produced in this process. Number two, the potential for them to escape into the environment is quite high. what the impact is once they enter the environment, that is an unknown for us right now.
Baumgartner says it's possible antibiotic-resistant bacteria could harm fish and wildlife by altering the natural bacterial balances in their bodies. But he says the EPA needs much more information before it can figure out how to deal with the issue. The spread of resistance genes into the environment is a newly discovered wrinkle to the well-known growing problem of antibiotic resistance in general. This year, the World Health Organization issued a call for stronger action to combat antibiotic resistance worldwide. Back in Iowa, biology professor John Bennett has studied the scientific literature documenting the growth of antibiotic resistance. Like many other scientists, he's deeply worried.
We're coming up to a very severe situation where several infections in humans are no longer treatable. If we don't change some of our practices, both in the clinic and in agriculturally, we're going to find in a very short period of time, 5 to 10 years, increasing levels of these types of infections in people. We're already finding what's called community-acquired resistant infections, people who have no contact with hospitals in decades now have what's called methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, a very difficult to treat staph infection. How did they get it? Got it because the genes are out there.
Bennett has begun studying how far the genes he's found in Iowa streams are traveling. He wants to know if they're moving into the Mississippi, even making their way down to the Gulf of Mexico. It's like an invisible web expanding at an unknown rate. But unlike many environmental problems, this one may pose the greatest threat not to wildlife, but to people. I'm Mary Lozier, Minnesota Public Radio.